Today's scripture reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 13. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, "David is in the wilderness of En Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to look for David and his men in the direction of the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepfolds beside the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. The men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.' Then David went and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's cloak. Afterward, David was stricken to the heart because he had cut off a corner of Saul's cloak. He said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to raise my hand against him, for he is the Lord's anointed.' So David rebuked his men severely and did not permit them to attack Saul. Then Saul got up and left the cave and went on his way. Afterward, David also rose up and went out of the cave and called after Saul, 'My lord the king!' When Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and did obeisance. David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of those who say, David seeks to do you harm? This very day, your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you into my hand in the cave. And some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not raise my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, see the corner of your cloak in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your cloak and did not kill you, you may know for certain that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you were hunting me to take my life. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the ancient proverb says, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Today we continue our sermon series called Facing Your Giants, inspired by Max Lucado's book with the same title, Facing Your Giants. And over the past two Sundays, we have uncovered powerful and life-giving truth. In week one, through David's incredible victory over Goliath, we were reminded that our God is much greater than any giant that we face. And last week, we found David hiding in a cave, exhausted, afraid, still on the run for his life. In that story, we were reminded that even in our lowliest valleys, God's grace still finds us to feed us, strengthen us, and send people to walk beside us, and also gives us courage to rise again. And today, we continue talking about grace, the very heart of the Methodist faith. But today, I'd like to shift the focus a little bit. This time, we are not just talking about grace as something that we receive from God, but as something that God calls us to do for others and extend even to those who hurt us most. Max Lucado calls those who hurt us most grief givers. They are the ones who betray, manipulate, or abandon. The ones who wound with words and actions. Who may smile in public, but cut in private. They can show up anywhere, in your workplace, in family, school, your past, or sadly, even in the church. Do you have a grief giver? Someone who wrongs you? Someone whose words still sting? Whose absence still aches? Someone who left a mark in your spirit that hasn't quite healed yet? And if so, what did you do with that pain? And what are you doing with the pain? And what will you do with it? Now let's turn our attention to David, who knows this kind of pain. He had a grief giver that was King Saul, who once loved David so dearly. David had done nothing but honor and serve King Saul. David soothed him with music and fought his battles and served his kingdom. He even became part of his family. And yet, Saul's insecurity became jealousy. His jealousy became rage. His rage became a mission to kill David. So David had to run. And isn't that how it often goes in the real life? People often lash out, not because of something that we have done wrong, but because of what we've done right, or sometimes for no reason at all. Sometimes your light threatens someone's shadow. Students in school know what it's like to be bold, not because they have done anything wrong, but simply for being different or kind. Some of you may have worked in toxic environments where success leads suspicion or sabotage. Even in families, there can be deep resentment, silent tension, or words that wound more deeply than they realize. And yes, it happens in churches too. David's story is not just ancient history. It is our story. He was pushed out, hunted down, misunderstood, mistreated like a criminal. Again and again, he ran, sleeping in caves, treated like a criminal. In today's scripture reading, we see David once again hiding in a cave. While he was hiding in the caves, King Saul unknowingly entered into the cave to release himself. And David's men whispered him. They said, "David, this is your moment. Go and kill him. God has delivered this man into your hands." And now let us pause a little bit and think about it. What would you do if you were David? What would you do if you were David? Honestly, I would be tempted. And I would say, finally, after all the injustice, all the running, all the fear, I can end this.
Good to know.
And to be honest, the world would agree. The word say, eye for eye, wound for wound, sword for sword. Now let us watch what David did. David moves quietly behind Saul, but surprisingly, instead of killing him, he simply cut off a piece of his robe. Then the scripture says, immediately David felt horrible that he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. It means that something deeper than anger stirred in his heart. And I believe it was grace. Grace held him back. And David turns to his men and says, The Lord provide that I should do such a thing to the Lord's anointed. And as Saul steps out of the cave, David follows him and holds up the piece of his robe and says to Saul, King, I could have killed you, but I didn't. Not because you deserve it, but because I know only God can judge between you and me. Even though David got a perfect chance to take Saul's life, he chose grace over revenge. And just a few chapters later, it happens again. In chapter 26, Saul is once again hunting David. And this time, David once again has a chance to take Saul's life. But again, he didn't take Saul's life, but he let him go. Not because he deserved it, but because he knew who he was, the beloved child of God, who hate injustice, who hate evil things. And then he knew that he was the beloved child of God, because of knowing that he didn't act based on who Saul was, but he acted based on who he was, to him who belonged to. And that is why he was able to make the following decision. I will not become what I hate. I will not fight evil with evil, but I will live by grace. David's radical grace reminds us of Jesus on the cross. Even as Jesus was betrayed, mocked, beaten, and bleeding, Jesus spoke this word on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Church, that is the grace of Christ. That is the grace that we have received. A grace that forgives us, frees us, and redeems us. And now it is the grace we are called to offer others, even those who hurt us most. Now I hope you don't hear my message as an invitation to tolerate any harmful behavior or injustice, or stay in abusive situations. No, we must resist any all forms of injustice or evil in the world. That is what the gospel tells us about. And we are called to set boundaries, speak truth, and walk in freedom. But even as we protect ourselves, grace invites us not to hate others, not to carry bitterness, not to seek revenge. John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement gave us three simple rules. The first is do no harm. Second, do good. Third, stay in love with God. And David lived those rules in the cave. He did no harm, even when he had every right to. He did good by honoring Saul's life and by trusting God's timing. David stayed in love with God by trusting God's justice over his own. So, church, what would it look like to live with these three rules? To release our anger, to start rehearsing the hurt and start releasing it? Maybe we will never get an apology from our grief givers. Maybe our grief giver will never change. However, brothers and sisters, we can still choose grace over revenge with the power of our Lord. And when we do, we can step out of the cave lighter, freer, and more whole. And we can heal what has been broken. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, thank you for meeting us today through your word. Thank you for the grace that covers us, heals us, and calls us forward. We confess that it is easier to hold on to hurt than to offer forgiveness. It is easier to seek payback than to choose grace. But Lord, you have shown us a better way. You gave us grace freely, even though we do not deserve it. And now you call us to do the same, to give grace freely, even to those who have wounded us. Lord, help us to release the bitterness we carry. Help us to choose grace instead of bitterness or revenge. Remind us that grace does not make us weak, but it makes us whole. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who forgave even from the cross. Amen.